Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Keisha McAllister. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Keep it right here because your hair speaks volumes.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Carrie Hines, and it's all about celebrating the Hair Radio Morning Show. It was first broadcast as the Hair Radio Show back in 1995 on AM and FM, and then it turned into an early morning edition daily on Blog Talk. It started back on Monday, January 5th, 2015, where we've been parked ever since, airing 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern weekdays. So here we are, marching towards 1,000 episodes. We are the most recorded hair and beauty talk radio program in broadcast history. The Hair Radio Morning Show is carried throughout the world by our amazing broadcasting partners. No one does it better than Hair Radio. So wake up, join me, Carrie Hines, Nicole Marie, and Michael Hopkins for the best call-in live hair and beauty talk. We are all about hair, beauty, and community. Stay well.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Throwback Thursday, so. What can I say? It is a great, great excuse, so to say, or so to speak, that just allows us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show to just let some of our classic songs rip and just play, and we love this. It's music and just songs that we absolutely love, and we've forgotten about, that we dig up, and it's not limited to music or songs or what have you. We throw it back to some of the best interviews that we've done in our thousands of interviews that have been recorded and are in our cache for replay that you have enjoyed over the years. When we're looking at 1,000 episodes of the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's not just limited to Throwback Thursdays, it's Throwback Every Day for us, because that is, it's a great time to think about all of this that we've done, and it's just a great effort. When we can remind you of how far we've come. So, again,
it's a great way to begin each day and to have these chats with our amazing fans globally. And we just love you. Thank you so much for being part of this experience and walking alongside of us on this journey. We've got a lot more to get into today. Thank you so much. Sweet.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods. And Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
I am an endangered species, but I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs.
When you become successful, everybody wants you to be successful till you're successful.
That's a fact.
Then once you're successful, everybody wants to tear you down. They want to tear down a performance. They want to tear down what you said. They want to criticize you here. They want to find a bad thing to say about you. So you got to just keep walking. And your self-worth has to be strong enough that when everybody's trying to attack you, because they want to be you, and the only way they can be you is they rip you. And you have to be strong enough to take those attacks. You've just got to be strong enough. And when you're strong enough and you get who you are, Man, what a life.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Dr. Nazgul Ghannouch. Now, she is a research analyst at the Sentencing Project, where she conducts, synthesizes research on criminal justice policies and crime. And Dr. Ghannouch, I want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to start by telling everybody that you created this wonderful report called Race and Punishment, Racial Perceptions of Crime and Support for Punitive Policies. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about that and also let us know what the Sentencing Project is?
Sure, I would love to. So the Sentencing Project is a national nonprofit organization that's been engaged in research and advocacy on criminal justice issues for over 25 years. Mark Maurer is our executive director, and so a lot of folks might know of his work and his name from the work that he's done on these issues. And the work that I did here on this report called Race and Punishment, it's a play on the famous title Crime and Punishment, and the idea that we have that punishment is related to crime. And what we try to show in this report is that race actually plays a really big part in determining punishment. And what's important is a lot of people have shown that race, of course, you know, someone's race contributes a lot to whether or not they're arrested, what kind of sentence they get. We know about all of this, and I cover a lot of this research. I provide an overview of this research in the report. But what's interesting that I show here is that people's racial associations of crime, specifically the fact that a lot of white Americans, and I cite a lot of research supporting this, the fact that a lot of white Americans associate crime with blacks and Latinos means that they're more punitive. They support more punitive policies. And this actually affects punishment for everybody. It disproportionately leads to punishment for people of color, but it also makes it so that we have a really harsh criminal justice system for everybody that's processed in the system.
Why do you think that's the case?
So that's a good question. So there's two parts to it. So one part is, why is it that whites have this strong association of crime with people of color? So there's some surveys, for example, that ask people, well, what proportion of specific crimes, you know, burglaries and other kinds of violent crime or other kinds of property crime do you associate with African Americans? What percentage do you associate with Latinos? And when researchers do these surveys, they find that whites overestimate the actual crime rate for people of color when they compare their estimates to arrest rates. So it's about 20 or 30% more of violent crime that they attribute, that they think is committed by people of color than is actually committed by people of color. So so why does that happen? Well, first there's the fact that when you look especially at the most serious crimes, there is a disproportionate amount of crime that's committed by blacks and Latinos compared to the share of the population that they comprise. And this has to do with inequalities and injustices that extend to beyond our criminal justice system. So when you look at urban poverty and all the difficulties of living in those conditions, it's disproportionately people of color that live in those settings, and it's those kinds of life conditions that lead to some of the most serious kinds of violent crime. But But that does, but even despite that, whites overestimate how much crime is committed by blacks and Latinos.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I totally, you know, accept your research, and this is very, very interesting. But do you think that some of that overestimation has to do with the media, you know, and I'm sure that it's, that you've quite covered this as well in your research. But what role, if any, let me just ask it that way, has the media played in adding to this and exacerbating this issue? What role, if any, has the media played?
A really crucial role. So, you know, what I mentioned was the most serious violent crimes. But then when you get to, for example, drug crimes, research shows that whites and people of color consume drugs at similar rates. We also know that people generally buy drugs from people of the same race and ethnicity as them. And so that would mean that there, if we were fairly enforcing and prosecuting and sentencing drug crimes, you would not have the majority of people in prison serving time for drug offenses. The majority of them should be white, but that's not the case right now. Their majority are people of color. And when people are asked, well, how much drug crime do you think is committed by people of color, they think it's a disproportionate amount than it actually is. And so a lot of that has to do with media representations, not just for drug crimes, but especially for violent crimes and property crimes. And so when researchers look at, for example, homicides that are reported in specific jurisdictions, like let's say in Cleveland, Ohio, one study looked at what, you know, when you look at the newspaper or other researchers have looked at TV coverage of crime or they found that a disproportionate amount of the crime that's reported is committed by people of color relative to the actual crime in that area. But in addition to that, it's not just the crime, the race, there's not just a disparity in the race of the suspect, there's also a big disparity in the race of the victim that's presented. So overwhelmingly, crimes that are reported on are crimes that are committed by people of color against whites, even though these are a very minority and extreme unusual set of crimes. Most crime that happens by people, are committed by people of one race against others of the same race as them. But there's something gets skewed, something gets transformed as you go from actual crime rates to what's reported in the media, and this gives people an exaggerated sense of black criminality and Hispanic criminality and an exaggerated sense of the likelihood of white victimization.
Not to mention becoming desensitized and all of that. This is quite amazing. It really is. Well, first of all, if you just joined us, I'm Carrie Hines, and with us today is Dr. Nazgul Gandush. Now, she is a research analyst at the Sentencing Project, where she's done an extraordinary amount of research. Now, the report that we're talking about today is, the name of it is Race and Punishment, Racial Perceptions of Crime and Support for Punitive Policies. Now, as we mentioned, it's been covered extensively in the New York Times. Now with Mr. Mark Mallory, you've also written Fewer Prisoners, Less Crime, A Tale of Three States, and Can We Wait 88 Years to End Mass Incarceration? And now, you also edit the Sentencing Project's monthly Race and Justice newsletter. So I want to kind of, let's talk a little bit, Dr. Gandush, about how did you get involved with all of this? How did, what was it that triggered, you know, this is something that, you know, that I must get involved with?
That's a good question. So before coming to the Sentencing Project, I was a graduate student at UCLA in a PhD program in sociology, and in trying to determine what to do, what kind of research to engage in for my dissertation, I wanted to focus on a topic that affected low-income people of color living in urban areas. And so I was trying to think about, you know, what would be a relevant topic, and it became glaringly obvious to me that one of the major issues that this population faces is incarceration. And so what I did for my project there was that I wanted to highlight the work that people who were impacted by incarceration were doing to challenge these policies. Because I had the sense at the time, and I think this is still true, that if you, you know, read about these issues, you get a really good sense of all of the problems and all of the causes of the problems that we have in the criminal justice system. And note there that I emphasize problems with the criminal justice system, not which are above and beyond problems that we have with crime, because a lot of the problems do not stem from crime. A lot of the excessive punishment that we have to do with criminal justice policy, not with crime rates. And so I wanted to document how people that were affected by these policies were reacting to show that there isn't just this mass victimization, but people are actually, you know, working to challenge these policies and reform them. And so I documented the work of a group there, and when I was done with that research, I wanted to continue to work on these issues, and so that's how I ended up at the Sentencing Project. And so this is the, you know, the first big solo-authored report that I've done since I've been here.
Now, how has this report been received, in your opinion?
Oh, you know, I was nervous about the kinds of reception that it would get, but it's actually been overwhelmingly positive. So Charles Blow wrote about it in his column in the New York Times. David Cole wrote about it in the New Yorker, and these are, you know, both really influential thinkers, and gave their endorsement for the arguments that I make in the report. And what the report really tries to do is to tie together these, you know, very broad strands of research on criminal justice issues and on public opinion and on crime. And what one of the major points that it's been able to make is that racial perceptions of crime that are the focus of the report are a major reason why white Americans are more punitive than people of color, even though they experience less crime. So it's not the case that the people that are the strongest advocates for a harsh criminal justice system are the ones who are most likely to be affected by crime. They're not, because people who are most affected by crime, people who are seeing some of the devastating consequences of drug addiction, are the ones who are most likely to advocate prevention and treatment rather than punishment as a solution for these problems. And so this has received a really, you know, it's really kind of confirmed what a lot of people have suspected, and, you know, kind of given them the tools that they need to make these arguments more strongly themselves.
Absolutely. I think for me, you know, just looking at, you know, the perception, where it just seems that when we watch television, mm-hmm. and just to kind of, you know, a sidebar for, you know, all of your wonderful, wonderful research in this wonderful topic, but along the same line, when we look at television, it just doesn't seem that it's really representative of what's really happening in the world. You don't see, you know, you just see an overwhelmingly high number of folks who are not of color, you know, on television and in the media. And it just boggles the mind. It just, you know, we just can't seem to, you know, move the needle, you know, forward in terms of the media views on race and television perception. It seems like we're stuck back, you know, 40 years ago where television is. And I think it has a whole, you know, I think of all of the influencers, I think the media and the effects of the television and so forth, I think that has had the most, has done the greatest amount of damage, and caused the necessity for your report.
Yeah, I think you're very right. I mean, what I highlight in the report is how news coverage of crime is skewed and biased. I also mentioned briefly that drama, you know, dramatic series that cover crime issues really have contributed to making people very concerned about crime and believing that there's a really high crime rate and really focused on crime issues, even when we have periods of falling crime rates. But what you're suggesting also is that it's important to think about the underrepresentation of people of color in other areas of television that can counter these stereotypes, and I think that's a great point.
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell everyone how they can get their hands on this wonderful report of yours on the Race and Punishment Report. How can they find that report?
They can find it by going to our website, www.sentencingproject.org. So it's available there. They can also just Google the title, Race and Punishment, and that should pull it up for them.
Wonderful. And also, if they are looking to find out more about the Sentencing Project in general.
Yeah, so they could find out through the website. They're also interested in kind of keeping up with the new work that we're doing. They can follow us on Twitter. So our Twitter handle is @sentencingproj. And then my own Twitter handle, if they'd like to follow me, is @nazgolg.
Now, I want to take a moment to talk and get your advice on this recent spate of what appears to be police brutality, or at least it seems like an uptick in our community. What is your take on, say, Ferguson?
So when I first, when I started writing this report, I thought a lot about how a lot of what I'm focusing on here is the sort of broad impact of these racial perceptions of crime, and that the broad impact is what we see going on in our criminal justice system, the expansive size of it, the fact that we have a higher incarceration rate than any of our peer countries by a magnitude of 5 or 10 times. The fact that we have such a disproportionate number of people of color in prison, 58% blacks and Latinos, compared to them comprising 30% of the general population. So that's sort of the widespread consequence of racial perceptions of crime and other factors as well. But a more narrow and more tragic and more acute consequence is when we hear about these instances where, we don't know yet exactly what's happened with Michael Brown, but this very suspicious circumstances. And it echoes a lot of other cases like Renisha McBride's, like Trayvon Martin's, Oscar Grant, so many other people that we could name, where even going back to Rodney King or further, people are treated brutally. They're killed by police officers or even by just regular citizens when they're unarmed, when they're not posing a threat. And what's driving that? And that has, I think that is echoes the same ideas of what's in the report. What's driving that is a misconception of the level of risk that someone's facing because the person that's confronting them is African American. So it skews their risk assessment of the situation and leads them to shoot, to kill. And, this is, like you said, the causes of this are, to the extent that they're coming from the media, it's just so widespread, it's so instilled in our psyches, and it will take so much time and effort to address it and to root it out. But what I try to show in the report is that there's a lot of room for optimism, because a lot of the people that are, making decisions based on these kinds of skewed perspectives are people that are not overtly racist. Right. They would say that, especially within our criminal justice system, the judges, the prosecutors, our lawmakers, they don't explicitly endorse racial inequality. Right. We're not living in Jim Crow era. But what we're living in instead is in an era where most people support and endorse racial equality, but often because of because of the way that their biases unconsciously influence their work, they end up producing biased outcomes. So they end up treating whites more fairly than blacks. They end up assuming that whites are probably, you know, if they're in the criminal justice system, probably they made a mistake that got them here. So let's give them a second chance. But whereas if they see a similarly situated black defendant, they're more likely to think, oh, this person, you know, probably going to keep committing crime, right? Let's keep them locked up. So
exactly.
So the optimism here is that by being really explicit and talking about these issues and not just trusting that, well, I'm not a racist, so I'm sure everything is okay, but actually looking at, well, that's great that you want to not treat people unfairly, but let's actually look at the work that you're doing as a policymaker. Let's actually look at the work that you're doing as a criminal justice professional. And then, you know, even far beyond this, in whatever line of work that you're doing, actually looking at, well, do whites and blacks and Latinos and others that are coming to you, are they actually getting treated fairly? And not just because of your individual discretion, but what about your organizational policy? Are there rules in place that lead to people of color being discriminated against and having a worse shot than whites who come into your organization? So these are the kinds of questions that we try to pose. And at the end of the report, we describe within the criminal justice system a number of interventions that have been used in different jurisdictions where people who realize, okay, well, we can't just trust that things are working out fairly because there's a lot of evidence that they're not, but let's look specifically at what we're doing and try to identify the causes of the problem so that we can, you know, unroot it.
Okay. And what can we do, in your opinion, as just the regular, everyday folks out here who are combating these types of issues, you know, this big issue? Any advice for those of us who are, you know, completely affected by this?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's great to first do what you're doing right now, talk about it, get educated, help educate people that you know about these issues. And what this report tries to do is to provide everyone with the tools necessary to make these arguments and show that this isn't just a hunch. So one poll that I describe in the report mentions that it asks people, do you think blacks and whites are treated fairly in the criminal justice system? And the majority of African Americans say, no, we don't think African Americans get a fair shake. And only 25% of whites said that they don't think African Americans are treated unfairly. So there's a real misconception here among whites where they think that the system is fair, and yet it's definitive. The system is not treating people fairly. And so there needs to be a lot of education to realize, you know, this isn't about blame. This is just about assessing what problems are and trying to address them. So part of it is education. And then another part of it is supporting policies that are trying to scale down the criminal justice system and eliminate the unwarranted racial disparities in the justice system. So at the federal level, there's the Smarter Sentencing Act that's trying to reduce sentence lengths for federal prisoners. There are, if you can visit our website and sign up and let us know what state you're in, we'll notify you of campaigns going on in your state where, you know, either to scale back criminal justice sanctions or to reduce disparities, and you can help to become active on those things.
And let's share with everyone that website again.
Sure. It's www.sentencingproject.org.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to thank you, Dr. Ganesh, for being with us. I mean, this is a wonderful report again. Let me just make sure everybody is aware. It's called Race and Punishment, Racial Perceptions of Crime and Support for Punitive Policies. We want to make sure that everybody is aware. And I really would encourage everyone to read this, regardless of your background. This is something that just a remarkable understanding of why we kind of are where we are here in America and what can be done about it. So, Dr. Ganesh, absolutely outstanding. Any final thoughts?
Let's see. My final thought, I guess, is to keep in mind this cause for optimism, that we're in a situation where it seems like lack of information and lack of education is the problem rather than a lack of commitment to values that we all endorse.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you again for being with us today on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Kerry Hines. Dr. Ghosh, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to take a quick look at this. And we'll have you back and really delve into some of the other wonderful aspects of your report. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much.
August 17th of 2023, this is our first hour. It's about 6:46 New York time. And I'm Kerry Hines. Again, it's August 17th of 2023. It's our show number 880. So I just want to go ahead and get that on out there. Coming up in just a bit, of course, is our mid-show with the Queen of the Mornings, of course, Nicole Maria B. Wissis. Right now, we're going out 3,000 miles away to Miss Keisha McAllister live. Keisha, don't know if you're there this morning. Hello, Keisha McAllister. Keisha, are you awake this morning out in California?
Good morning, Kerry Hines.
Sounds like you are. Okay. Good morning. And again, welcome. Yes, wanted to just check in with you real quickly here. on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I know you're going to be coming up in our Spotlight Hour a little later today to talk about some hair tips again as we continue to roll out the next edition of Afrolock Magazine. And I'm so excited about that coming up on September 1st. We want to talk about that. But also we're going to check in with you on some hair tips and ask a stylist. So all that's coming up at, in our last hour today. So you don't want to go anywhere. We've got Keisha McAllister coming up and throughout the show today. So Keisha, thanks for thanks for getting up early with us, okay? We much appreciate it.
Sure.
So we'll be checking in with you in just a little bit, okay? So stand by. Get you some coffee now.
We'll do.
You're like, okay. All right. We'll be checking in. All right. Thanks again. We're going to be checking in with Keisha McAllister throughout the broadcast today with her real great down-home hair talk and so much more, of course, as we get into Afrolock and the Salon TV Network. And what's happening, I've got a few news items I want to kind of chat about today. So we'll get into all of that. I just have you guys to kind of stay with us. We've got a lot more to get into this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Just stay with us. We'll be right back.
As black women, we deal with it. The whole thing about, do you show up with your natural hair? You know, braids, y'all. You know, but you know, as First Lady, I did not wear braids. The first black.
It is my honor to welcome Mr. Charles Hughes to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, Mr. Charles. How are you this
morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, and thanks for that introduction. I am just so blessed to be here with Gracious of Life, the longest running hair care radio show in the world. I'm in good company.
Wow.
I know that.
Mr. Charles. Thank you so much for those accolades. And Mr. Charles, tell us about your business.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me give you guys a little background about, you know, who I am first, and then I kind of get into the business because it's still under construction at the moment. But, gosh, I've made leaps and bounds with it. But anyway, I'm from a little bitty small town called Union, South Carolina. I always tell people it's between Columbia, our state capital, and Spartanburg because they know where that's at. Got my start down there playing football. Didn't start until I was in the ninth grade. And after I, started playing football in the ninth grade, by the time I was a senior, I was what they call the so-called superstar. I ended up going to the Shrine Bowl, ended up getting multiple Division I scholarship offers, and elected to go to Western Carolina University, in which I ended up getting a degree in education, physical education, and a minor in psychology. Psychology always intrigued me, as you guys will see what my consulting business is in just a few. And once I graduated, even though I had a teaching degree, I went straight into corporate because, believe it or not, corporate was paying a lot more money than teachers at that time and coaches. And I had an opportunity to get into the textile firm, which was called Millikan & Company, one of the largest ones and the only one left in America now, probably. And I was with them for only 3 years. And I had an opportunity and just simply got interested in corporate training, corporate education, and corporate development. So I took my teaching skills to the corporate side. And I was only with them for 3 years. After being with them for 3 years, believe it or not, I somehow ended up getting involved in the restaurant industry. And then I later figured out why. My friend, Mickey Giss, he had played for the Washington Redskins. And he was working for Jerry Richardson, who later on brought the Carolina Panthers to the Carolinas, more specifically Charlotte. And he talked me into coming on board and getting involved in the restaurant industry, and I did. But guess what? I wasn't really in the restaurant industry per se. I ended up getting on the education, development, and training side of the restaurant. And there, I was there for 36 years. But I got my start in what I'm doing now. When I met a guy by the name of Ron Kine, I attended a week-long, during my training and orientation, a week-long session of workshops, live interactive workshops, start at 7, end at 5. But when I was introduced to this thing they call the personality profile system, my life has never been the same since then. I knew then, after going through that workshop, that that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I wanted Ron Kine to be the one to teach me, because the way he laid it out, it literally, it just didn't inform me. It transformed me. And I've been a different individual ever since then. So my hat's off to him, because he really made a difference the way he taught it and the way he brought it home. So that's just a little bit about me. Now, as far as my business is concerned, I am under construction with Charles Hughes Consulting Firm. You know, my website, everything is still under construction. And so we basically have actually put together, you know, a website. And what I actually do is I actually help people self-discover their superpower, because we all have powers that we were innately born with. Thing is, we just don't find out what they are, because everybody tells us what they should be, and we end up being what our mom and dad and brothers and sisters were, right? So
right.
This is a very interesting topic, and I can't wait to hear some of the questions you guys may have so I can give you guys a little bit more information about it. But like I said, the main thing is that it is on the construction right now, and of course, Carrie Hines will be one of those people that will be helping me to navigate it to get it on solid ground. And based on what I've heard with the Yeah Care radio show, I am totally convinced that it's going to be one of the top. It's going to even be so much better than it is now. So that's just a little bit about me and a little bit about what I do. So now you guys can ask some more specific questions.
Wow. That is fantastic. Now, speaking of questions, yes, I do have a couple of questions to ask you. And I like what you said about the superpowers. And it reminds me so much of veterans. As you know, Mr. Charlie, reminds me of veterans. As you know, we serve our country, we go in, we do all these fantastic things, and as we get out of the military, we have to find our superpower.
Absolutely.
And that was my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
With veterans, what are some of the ways you would help them find their superpowers?
Well. First, I think that the very first question that I try to get people, you know, to kind of, you know, to really think about is what actually happened to us when we first, you know, came out of the womb. We came out and we were at the mercy of our caregiver, our mom, sisters, brothers, whoever it is that was taking care of us. And when it comes to something like the veterans, you know, you talk about the fact that we've been in a world where we've been pretty much, you know, I mean, let's face it, we've been indoctrinated. We've been programmed. We got systems and processes that we have to follow through. We've been told to do it this way, told to do it that way. So in some cases, many of us have not been able to find ourselves. So the way it would be able to help the veterans is for them to get an opportunity to find themselves, and I would basically steer them toward what I talked to Carrie about, and that is an opportunity to take a free DISC personality test just to get an overview, because first and foremost, what it does is it's designed to help you understand yourself better from a personality standpoint, not intellectual, but personality standpoint. And it looks at your behavior your natural tendencies, your strengths, things that you're good at, and it gives you an opportunity to reveal, in many cases, what people have been telling you all your life, you just wasn't agreeing with them. So I would actually steer them toward taking a free this personality test. I'm going to I got that information I'm going to send over, but it's basically if you were to go to Google and just type in free this personality test, there is a company that offers it, and the name of that company, I got it right here. I want to say it, the name of it is the Elkin. That's right. It's the Kevin. It's free this test, the Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Elkinberry Group. They offer a free this personality test. And you can take it right there. Once you log in, you can click and start taking it. And in 10 minutes, you'll know a lot more about yourself than you knew when you before you actually got on, you know, before you got online.
Oh, wow.
So thank you for your service, and thank you for all the service that you guys give. And trust me, I am one of your fans. I've been listening to you, and you've been giving me some cues on exactly what I need to do and how I need to go about doing it, because you have definitely put some information out that has helped through the veterans, because they really, really need it. I'm not a veteran, but I got relatives and family and friends that are. So thank you for your service and what you're doing for them right now, because now is when they need it. Quite interesting, and then we'll get back on track, but quite interesting, one of the things that my consulting firm do is that we work with colleges, and I went back to my alma mater, and what we basically do is that we are mentors and we are supporters of the college, but more than anything else, the name of our kick point is what Kerry would – he would have another word for it from a marketing standpoint. But basically, I call it life beyond the gridiron. The gridiron is the football field, right? Well,
right.
There's a life
right.
beyond there. And what we do
right.
is we prepare those players for what your life is going to be when you play that last football game. No more practice.
Wow.
Now it's time to live life. Reminds you of the veterans in a way when they retire or get out of service, right?
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Thursday morning. It's August 17th of 2023. I'm Kerry Hines, and boy, oh boy, it's definitely a Smith Show. 7 o'clock if you're in New York or on the East Coast, 6 o'clock for Central folks, and it's way earlier if you're in the state of California, like our standby contributor today, Ms. Keisha McAllister. You guys know her. She is the founder of Lavender Beauty, and she'll be with us throughout the show today to drop some hair tips and talk, and we're going to be checking in with her in just a bit. But first, let me bring to the line, we are live this morning. We're back, bigger and better than ever. You guys know her. She is the queen of the mornings. We're talking about the one and only Miss Nicole Marie from Water Valley, Mississippi. Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Happy mid-show. Happy Thursday.
Yes, happy mid-show to you.
Yes.
All of the above. Well,
all
we've been listening to you, and yes, we had a little bit of Mr. Charlie in there. We had a little bit before that with NASCO Ganoush, Dr. Ganoush, and so much about what's happening. And that was done 10 years ago as we've been kind of unearthing some archives. And what Dr. Ganoush was talking about is still going on today, even more so, and
true.
It's exacerbated by so many other things that we're going to get into it in just a bit, but first wanted to just again say good live morning to everybody.
Good live morning.
Just happy to be on this Thursday. Yeah.
Very happy.
Got our coffee, got our juices, and we ready to go.
Ready to roll.
So, yes, ready to roll. First of all, I literally thought it was September. I don't know why. I think because
really?
I'm operating. Well, that's because I'm operating in the month of September for the magazine. So, yeah,
okay.
I'm working Yeah, you know, you guys out there know that I produce Afrolock Magazine. That's what we do here at the show. And so the next issue is due September 1st. So everything I do outside of the radio show is kind of geared towards September. So it's our fall issue. So I like it. thinking
wow.
of it. So yeah.
Yes. Okay, I can understand that.
Oh, yeah. But no, it is, let me be clear. Today is August 17th of 2023. It's a Thursday. That's our show number 880. What I loved about the piece that we ran with Dr. Nasco Ganesh earlier is that the thing she talked about when she referenced Ferguson and the crime that's happening and the perception
right.
by whites versus blacks, it really hits home. And it's a shame that we haven't moved an inch in the right direction. That's because we have the wrong popes in power. And, I mean, let's just call it the way it is. And
that's so true.
Need to make some changes, and they need to happen right now.
Yes.
It's a shame that we're
and
still
we
talking
can
about
do that.
Things 10 years later.
Yes.
We can do that. And I think we're doing our part where it relates to the vote and community, and that's where I was going.
Right.
So you beat me there.
Yes,
yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's about voting.
Yes.
You can kind of tell it's about voting. It's the local vote.
It starts at the local level
and
goes up.
Yes, I totally agree. And what we have, obviously, it wouldn't matter so much. You could tell that that's what they're trying, the folks that don't want you to win, are trying to prevent you from doing that because that's what moves them out of power. And they know that. And so for us, we have to be vigilant. The folks who are just not treated right, it's awful. And the media, which we forget, but what you see on broadcasting networks and these shows and things like that, It's the perception that they want folks to have, so to speak.
Exactly.
Which is totally opposite of the reality.
That's so true.
I never see, on the cop and drama shows and the legal shows, I don't see where they're just shooting kids and shooting people in the street, running them over with their cars and stuff like that to stop them from getting away, literally running them over, hitting them with the car purposely. And keeping a job and just killing, it's because they have the wrong perception of black folk and they don't care.
Right.
It's real simple.
Oh, true.
And so we have to just speak the truth and hope and pray for change. I just want to say, yes, on the flip, I'm happy that we're here each morning, each day with the Hair Radio Morning Show. And speaking a truth that our truth, and to be really, it's just, it gets you after a while.
Right.
And folks are struggling and having a hard time in this country. I look at how awful it is to mistreat one another. But the reason that folks mistreat us is because they feel that they can. And then furthermore, they feel we deserve it.
Exactly.
Where the real folks are going
voice.
All in their pockets.
Yes, we've got to speak up, got to stand up,
that.
And come together.
Well, that is what I think that we're doing the best we can. Our megaphone is not quite as big as the media and these corporations who have been allowed to pervasively get their message across to everybody. And they've been able to do that because the protections that were put in place were dismantled.
Right.
They were dismantled years ago. The
right.
antitrust laws that prevented corporations from these conglomerates from taking over and controlling what we hear and see.
So true.
And so we don't have a choice but to listen to horrible folks who can't sing and watching messages and crap on TV that don't look like us or talk like us or even things that we even care about.
Right.
They just throw crap on. I mean, it's literally garbage. Garbage. And so I'm sorry, but folks need to be called out. They need to be called out. And I wish, and we've got to do more, folks. Like Nicole said, we've got to do more locally.
They just keep on going.
They keep on going. And they keep on going anyway because they can.
Right.
They can. And the reason nothing changes is because they don't give, they could care less. It doesn't affect their lives. They don't care, people. Wake up. I don't care.
We need a
huge
wake-up.
It doesn't affect their daily
problem.
Lives. So we've got to do more.
Right.
And that's what this show is about. It literally is providing hope. Because we have to talk it out. We've got to strengthen our community. You know, when I'm listening back to the show this morning, I'm hearing Dr. Ignatius talk about something that was done 10 years ago.
Right.
And to have her and talking about these things that are still at play today even more so, it tells you that we've gone way in the wrong direction. She pointed out some very good things that really shed light if you listen carefully.
So true.
Mainly lack of education. Mainly lack of education. Because if you're not too bright, you know, folks are going to take advantage of you.
Right. And you don't say anything.
So we've got to focus on these things. Well, listen, Nicole Marie, I just had to get a few things out there. I hope you guys understand.
That's okay. But it's so true. So relevant.
I think so.
Open our eyes.
I think so.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Absolutely. Now, I want to shift gears just for a moment. My heart goes out to the folks out in Hawaii, Maui. Who are dealing with these horrific fires. Listen, what it boils down to, I've got to look at and call it like I see it. I don't know what kind of leadership they have there, but this was the poorest, in my opinion, of preparation I've ever seen. There's no reason that all these folks have lost their lives because depended on to alert them and keep them safe from harm fell down on the job.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
And so many families have been disrupted, and they're still, I mean, the truth is I doubt we'll really hear a real true count. But it's just so many folks that, you know, it's going to go, I believe, into the thousands. Believe me.
So
horrible.
Definitely sending
what's
thoughts
going on?
And prayers
we don't
to
care
all
about
of
each
them,
other.
Their families, friends.
What's going on? Yeah. Nicole Marie, we've got to do better, folks. Again, we've got to do better. Hey, I think we're just getting into the throes of this other big story that's floating out there on the world and the internet. From the Blind Side movie. You guys have heard about it. The couple, they're fighting against the original Michael Orr, yes, the young man who was portrayed in the movie The Blind Side. We're talking about the original, the true fellow. Who says that the couple misled him by having
right.
him sign documents and things that were a conservatorship. Right. There was no adoption. It was conservatorship papers. And so here's the argument that I've heard on the news or on entertainment tonight, because this is right for them covering the story. But they're saying that on their side, on the behalf of the two parents, that they were already rich, they didn't need it, is what the lawyer said on television yesterday. I gotta say that to me, that doesn't mean you didn't do it. Right. You know, most folks look at, you know, the former president. Most folks, you know, they have money, and he still made his kids like billionaires by the time they left office. So by the time he left office. So it's not that folks who have money don't want more. They do. Those are the ones who usually do want more money.
Exactly.
So I don't know. All I'm saying is that I don't think it's right that they did a conservatorship on this young man. And what I love about the actual fella, the football player, the former football player himself, he was like, he did also didn't like the way that the guy, portrayed, the actor, portrayed him in the movie that made him look like he was kind of slow.
Right.
Yeah. I said, all right. That's, because he really did. He made him look like he was empty upstairs.
Right.
So,
he needed so much help.
Yeah.
Which not to say that he didn't need any help.
Oh, my.
But the way it was portrayed, I can see why he would be upset.
Well, absolutely. Well, Nicole Marie, I just have to say I'm always so, so grateful to have you here talking with us on the show. We're going to be getting into it today. We had Ms. Keisha McAllister from California join us a little earlier on some hair talk. We're going to be bringing her back in the next hour, in our spotlight hour, to share some hair talk. Yes, we also have, speaking of Hollywood, well, speaking of California, I have an original interview with Camille Friend, and we're going to get that on in our spotlight hour. Yes.
Yeah.
So now, she's going to be featured in the magazine, but it's all new in the magazine, so it's not what you're going to hear today in the spotlight hour. So we want you to stay tuned for all of that coming up a little later. And then, of course, Michael Hopkins joins us. We're talking about the host of Vet Talk Radio Show. He'll be with us at about 7:30 this morning. We're going to check in with Michael. He's working on season 3. We have some new topics that we're going to talk about and what's coming up on Tuesday's show. So we want to get all that in this morning. So first, Nicole, I have to say, so I wanted to check in with you on education. That's your, we call your wheelhouse. What is, you know, what are some things? Because the kids are either in, gone back to school, or they're about to go back to school. How, I just want to ask you, because you are our resident educator right here. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. What are some of the things that we can tell parents? And, you know, is it that they should, you know, try to get more involved in with the parent meeting? Because I don't think my parents, I hate to say, but I don't think they ever went to any parent meetings and stuff when I was a kid. And I always wanted them to go, but they were so busy and stuff. And back in the day, I don't know, it was a different time. But what advice do you, or, you know, or do you have any advice for the
parent meetings are important.
That's advice.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you. But for me, the key is before you get to the parent meeting, just be involved with your child. Have that one-on-one contact with your child, the conversation to know and recognize the things that they are going through. That this is a definitely a different day and age for our children, and they are going through so much more than we went through when we were growing up. There's so much more peer pressure. We have drugs. We have, you know, it's even with mental issues that our children are dealing with, social issues that our children are dealing with. You have to be in tune with your child and recognize those things. Because a lot of the time, and almost every time, we as the educators cannot get to the business of teaching and actually educating your child because we are dealing with, we have to deal with the other issues first. If a child comes to school and they're having issues at home. Things may be going on with them, with mom, with dad, with, you know, other situations at home. That child is not focused on learning. Sometimes they don't even want to be there at school because they have so much that is going on. So that needs to be handled first before we can even get to the business of education. So be in tune with your child. Listen to your child. Talk to your child. Because sometimes when things are going on, if you don't already have that relationship where they feel like they're going want to share with you or will share with you without feeling like they're going to get in trouble, then they're not going to express themselves. So just open the lines of communication with your child, with your children, to know what's going on. Bullying is a big issue in our schools. If you don't know that it's going on, how can you as a parent be an advocate for your child? Because sometimes the kids don't tell because they're scared, they're upset. So be in tune with your child. And then be involved with the teacher or teacher. Sometimes, depending on the grade level, the children have multiple teachers. Be involved. Be proactive. Don't wait until, little Johnny is already in trouble. If you are in contact with the teacher and have built a relationship with the teacher, let them know, contact you beforehand. When they're, there's warnings. I just wanted to let you know this is going on. That's what we do as educators, or we should be doing. And so when you have that contact from the teacher or when you're reaching out to the teacher, please respond. Sometimes we have parents that when they see the phone number from school, they don't even answer the phone.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they don't. They do not. They feel like when their child is at school or children at school, they're at school and we're to take care of them, which we do and which we are responsible for them. However, it works so much better when there's that relationship with the teacher and the parent and the student. And we all work together for the success of the student. That's what makes it work.
We really, have we gotten so turned around in this society that it is just deplorable. It's almost unreal how crazy
our babies need us.
Are.
They need all of us.
They need
us. It takes a village.
We all need each other.
Exactly.
We need each other. And this is something that we're going to continue to follow. And Nicole Marie, I hope that we can continue to shine the light on education and our kids, our parents.
More than ever.
Throughout the school season that was just getting underway in several states. And, we're going to be doing it right here on the show. This means a lot
right
to us.
Right here.
And we're going to keep, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, I've got to say, big updates. Folks are still asking, Carrie, what's going on with the new issue of Afro Lock Magazine? Can I still get a subscription? Can I give a gift subscription? Yes and yes. And the magazine is due out on the 1st of September.
Yes.
It is coming
up. I can't wait.
It is a Friday morning that is due. And it's going to be a great weekend for AfroLock. I'm super, super excited. There's one story in particular that we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show. And the Nicole Marie, you, Michael Hopkins, myself, we're going to be really digging in. I'm hoping Keisha McAllister will join us. It's about mixed hair textures. And this is an important article that is being featured in the next issue of AfroLock magazine. So I want to talk to you guys about this topic. It's not something that we've really chatted about too much, I don't think.
Right.
And
right,
I think
right.
It'll be really good. And we're going to ask Ms. Keisha McAllister a little bit about it in the next hour as well, and just make sure she's well aware. But, I'm loving all of this. We will be out with a complete new
magazine. We've got some beautiful new pictures and designs and
right.
some wonderful topics that we'll be sharing with everybody in the September fall issue of Astrolog magazine. So, yeah, real excited about that. And can't say much more than that. Now, I've got to say also, the first thing that we kind of led on into or led in with this morning, right here, it's during our host chat, is all about hope of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Hope of the day. Why is hope so critical to us? And Nicole Marie, why do you say hope is so important to us? And then what exactly is hope of the day for folks just joining us for the first time?
Well, Carrie, for to start, hope is so, so very important to all of us because it gives our lives meaning. It gives us a focus, a just that positive expectation that change can and will occur in our lives. So hope is the belief that our future can be better than our past. No matter what we have gone through, no matter what has happened, there's always that hope. We hold on to that expectation of hope. And hope reduces our feelings of helplessness. It increases our happiness and just improves our overall quality of life. So it's critical for us. It keeps us moving, keeps us going, just holding on to that glimmer of hope. So today, I would like to share the hope of the day for all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this moment is courtesy of the book called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay. And the hope for today is exercise. It's one of the best ways to lift your spirits. Walk, run, swim, play sports, go to the gym. Whatever you do, get your body and your blood pumping. Let your endorphins flow. They'll promote positive thoughts and change your day's trajectory. And that is so really true. It just changes your whole outlook on the day. Getting those endorphins going and get you moving no matter what time you exercise. Some people are exercising in the morning or just all throughout the day at night. It just depends on person. But it does make a difference. Gives you more energy. Very, very important. Very important to exercise. Whatever you do, whether you walk, whether you run, work out, it makes a difference in our lives, Carrie.
Yeah, I think so too. Exercise. Not just your body, but what happens is that really your mind. And I think it's amazing what it does. It has so many benefits. And I love it. What I had to learn early on with regards to exercise and exercising is that don't compare yourself. I used to compare myself to all the fellas with the great big muscles and the little six pack and all this kind of stuff, not realizing that I had the wrong idea of staying in shape and the benefit of that. And it's for your own health. It's not a community thing. It's your health and the walk for you. And then once I learned that, I was good. And exercising your mind, that's what I talk about. But
that's
I love that
key.
Through exercising and keeping in shape. Yeah, that is true. But it's through keeping in shape. And like you said, those endorphins going, and you are good to go.
Right.
So I love
Lots
it. Let's see if we can get
measure.
Michael Hopkins.
Yes.
We're going to see if we can get Michael Hopkins from down in beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia, to weigh in. Michael Hopkins, host of VTR.
Good morning,
again,
Michael.
Good morning. Happy mid-show.
Happy mid-show, Michael.
And real happy. Yes.
Hello.
Let's see if we can get Michael. All right, Michael Hopkins. Now, are you one that supports the idea of exercising?
Oh, yeah, I have no choice.
Wow. Well, tell everybody what you mean.
Well, you see, because of my physical therapy and the things that I do, as far as the arthritis and a few other things that I have to exercise, like, to keep moving, because if not, then my body will start to stiffen up. And it sometimes is little things. It might be because I have arthritis in my neck. It might start to bother me. My right knee may start to bother me because of the arthritis, my lower back. It'll be little things like that, hips, just little things like that.
Well, Michael, I mean, Nicole Marie, what about you? I think Michael is a walking testament to why exercise is so important.
Exactly. I totally
agree.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
well,
with inflation.
You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's certainly
pretty
true.
Much.
Oh, yeah.
You have to keep
pretty
your body
much.
Moving. Or you do start having aches and pains and things start going
oh,
wrong.
Yeah.
You have to keep
you
your body
do.
Moving.
You do. I mean, I'm beyond the $6 million man. I think with inflation, I'm up to, what, about 10 now?
I think more than that.
Well,
listen,
pretty
Michael
much so.
We are so happy to have you on the show. This is a great topic, Nicole Marie. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
And I
yes,
love
it
is. Because it's reminding me to get my butt on into my gym and work it out.
Right.
And that's what
and
I plan to do.
And work at your own pace. Someone that's just starting, of course,
yes.
you're not going to be at the gym and be working out like somebody who's already been there. And, you know, everybody works at a different level. So you set your own exercise goals and what works for you. You said earlier, Carrie, don't compare yourself to other people.
No,
you do your own thing.
Oh, boy.
What's beneficial for you?
Horrible.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Don't compare yourself to
not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, I just want to say this is so exciting, I really have to say. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Michael Hopkins, when we come back, I also, again, we want to remind folks, we've been doing it each day, that your season 3 is on the way. And we're super excited. Want to hear
so
what
excited.
You've got to say more about this. So we are happy to get things rolling along. Want to remind everybody that we have the best early morning talk show and the longest running in the history of broadcasting. So thank you so much for supporting us at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We love it. We love
you
guys.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
So very
much.
So. Yes. All right. And I love this little talk with that we did with Miss Tina. Stay with us, folks.
a girl power moment honoring the one and only Tina Turner. Tina Turner was born Anna Mae Bullock in Brownsville, Tennessee, and her family lived in the rural community of Nutbush, Tennessee. As a young girl, she sang in the church choir. Turner began her career with Ike Turner's King of Rhythm in 1957 under the name Little Ann. She appeared on her first record, Box Top, in 1958. In 1960, she debuted as Tina Turner with the hit duet single, A Fool in Love. When Turner walked away from years of abuse from Ike Turner, the one thing that she fought for was her name he had given her. Turner declared that she would be the first black female rock star, and she understood that she had the voice, the talent, and the work ethic. Turner achieved her first and only number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with What's Love Got to Do with It. Better Be Good to Me and Private Dancer were both U.S. top 10 hits. Turner's success continued worldwide, and she became a superstar performer and was referred to as the Queen of Rock and Roll. Her music inspired generations with her dynamic, powerful, and electrifying voice and performances. She broke cultural barriers and impacted the music community. Turner also acted in the films Tommy and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. In 1993, What's Love Got to Do with It, a biographical film, was released. In 2009, Turner retired after completing her Tina 50th anniversary tour, which is the 15th highest grossing tour of the 2000s. As of May 2023, Turner has reportedly sold around 100 to 150 million records worldwide, becoming one of the best-selling recording artists of all times. She received 12 Grammy Awards, 3 Grammy Hall of Fame Awards, and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. Turner could always be seen wearing micro miniskirts, leather pants, or sequin dresses, showing off her gorgeous legs. She was an unstoppable force with resilient stamina. Tina Turner will be missed. Her memory lives on through her music and the incredible legacy that she leaves. Tina Turner, you were simply the best.
Morning, August 17th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. It is so good to have you guys with us. I've just been enjoying the show along with all of you guys out there. I want to kind of get everybody in on this conversation first. Wanted to kind of keep it going a little bit. We were just doing an informal tribute to the one and only Miss Tina Turner, the queen of rock and roll. And we just love her and miss her so very much in all of her music. Want to bring Michael Hopkins back into the conversation. He's out of Pennsylvania, Virginia. And we miss Tina, Michael, don't you? We miss Tina Turner.
So very much so, Carrie.
Very much so.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to take a little break. There's still so many things flying all over the internet. Still, it's been a while since we lost Kim, but she has had a huge presence still. I do a lot of on the internet, and she's there every day about something
very
or another.
Much so
it's real interesting. Well, listen, we have one of our most popular hairstylists in the history of broadcast standing by. We've been chatting with Keisha McAllister for the last couple of days here on the broadcast, and today is no different. We are really welcoming her input as we move into the fall season with our next issue of AfroLock magazine. So I wanted to kind of get her a little bit to kind of chat a little bit about this. And I love this because with all the seasons, like I was so funny. I asked her yesterday, you know, was there a difference in the seasons? Does it matter with your hair? And she just, the way she said it, just blew me away yesterday. Absolutely, she kind of bellowed. And it was just really good. So I cannot wait to kind of hear from her on where we're going and some of the hair input. Keisha McAllister, who comes to us from Fairfield, California area, out in the northern part of California. So, Keisha, what would you like to say? Good morning again out there on the west coast.
Good morning, good morning.
3,000 miles.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Keisha McAllister.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yes.
How
what would I like to say?
There?
Well, you know what?
Yes.
It's hot. It's hot out here.
It's hot. Okay.
It's hot.
Yes.
It is dry.
I understand. It's hot and it's dry. Well, that's okay. That's okay to a degree. So now, were you a big Tina Turner fan too? And you know, with all that's going on, there's still, when I look at the internet, there's Tina all the time. So were you a big Tina fan out there? For some reason,
you
I
know,
can see you
I'm...
rolling on the river now, people.
Well, yeah, I grew up with music appreciators, so I heard a lot of music.
Yeah.
But the one thing about Tina that I appreciate is that when she did Mad Max, because Beyond Thunderdome, right? Because it stepped out of the realm of the stage. And she fitted perfectly.
Yeah, that was way out the realm of the stage, I think.
Yeah,
Michael,
very much
weren't
so.
You a fan of that movie?
Yeah, I was. I'm a sci-fi fan. Yes. I am. So to see a black woman in that role, back in that time. But I think what changed her. And I don't want to say color, but was that she was a rock and roll star. She was the queen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it took, it changed her demographic, I'll say that. And it made people worship her even more.
Yeah.
So I appreciated her doing
she was
that,
always,
definitely.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? You agree with that?
Oh, Tina, yes, that very much so. Even in the movie Tommy with The Who, that solidified her with a worldwide audience, just like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And she did, what was that, We Don't Need Another Hero?
Mm-hmm.
That it
right,
fit
that went
in.
On the, number two on the
right,
Billboard
I mean,
chart.
It, yeah, it all fit in. And she, as she said, she proved a point. Her point was she knew she had the talent. She knew she could be a superstar, a rock and roll superstar, and she did it. She did it. She hit
and
the right.
Let's say in her own individual right, because she had already been a top performer. with Ike.
Right.
But, yeah, she always believed in herself. That's what I kind of pulled from all of this. And
yeah,
to talk about it
very
today
much
on the show, yeah, I'm kind of liking this, Keisha McAllister. Didn't expect to have that convo with you this morning.
Wow.
Yeah,
what a
pretty
much.
I am a sci-fi fan, but, no, I definitely appreciate Tina Turner. I came up on kind of the tail end of her career and with Church Folks, so I didn't get to listen to it all the time.
Okay.
But I got to see it on, sneak and watch it on MTV, so you know, things like she definitely gave a place for Black women in a different genre, so I appreciate
it. Really
pretty much so.
I saw her perform live in New York at Madison Square Garden. I went to her concert at the height of her success back in about 84. And I remember my friend Diane, who I've known for a long time, she and I went to Tina's concert. And I had never in my life saw anybody who had the kind of stamina. And I had been to Michael Jackson's concert twice, and I'd never seen anybody who had the kind of energy that Tina Turner had ever in my life on stage. That's the God's honest truth. And she was such a beautiful lady, and she had a very interesting complexion to me. She really did. I don't know whether it was the stage lighting. It could have been stage makeup. I don't know. But just a beautiful, beautiful lady. And just, she just gave it all. I really mean that. And I'm just telling you, of anybody I've ever seen, she really was no joke. And she was very talented. And I don't know if she gets enough credit for her singing, per se, because she's a great singer as well. And I just wanted to say, wow, okay, glad to know you guys are big fans. Now, speaking of stage and performing and all of that wonderful good stuff, in the next issue of Afrolock Magazine, which comes out at the beginning of September, we are talking about hair and hair and makeup and all of that in the way of stage and screen. So the folks who are making the movies, making the TV shows out there. So how does this play into it? And why are we talking about it at this point? So we've got the big magazine coming up, Afrolock Magazine, due out on September 1st. We'll be continuing our conversations about hair care and the entertainment world. Now, Keisha, mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about this being something for yours that you wanted to delve into the entertainment world? Is that something that kind of resonates with you on any level?
It is definitely something that I would like to do. I'm finding now that when I'm watching shows or movies, I'm looking at the hair. I'm not really paying attention to the script. Or the actors,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the hair most of the,
yeah,
the movie,
yeah,
or show. So it's definitely something that I want to do because we're needed. Someone like me is needed. I can barber and I can do natural hair and I can do everybody's hair. I'm a diverse.
You can cut it up.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
I can cut it
go
up,
ahead,
but I
go.
Yeah, I can
uh-oh
do everybody's hair. So it's not a big. It's not a big deal if someone sits in the chair and says, you know, or, you know, a certain look is called for, you know, I can usually make that happen. So, you know, I'm definitely,
yeah,
interested in getting into this field, this part of the industry.
Well, coming up in the next half hour, I think you're going to really love this. Speaking of which, because one of my special guests who's going to be featured in next month's issue of Afrolock Magazine. So in the September issue, Miss Camille Friend will be featured. We've got a special surprise for you coming up, and I think you're going to love this. I really, really do. You know, I do, Keisha McAllister. I think you're going to love this because what you were just talking about, and in a way of breaking in to the hair entertainment side of the media, medium that's out there. I want to say this big interview with Camille is something that you're going to enjoy. Now, this is not what's being featured in the magazine, so I want to be clear on that. We have a brand new interview with Camille that has never been seen the light of day. So that, you know, we'll talk more about that coming up. But this is a great introduction for you guys today, Ms. Camille Friend, and some of the things that she's done with us. And I just thought it would be nice as a surprise interview and some great talk coming up in the next half hour. And so I'm so grateful and happy to have Ms. Keisha McAllister here, who I think you're gonna benefit the most out of everybody today.
Yeah.
Get the first hand on how to do all this. And that's what I love about this show. What do you say about that, Keisha? You know, Keisha and Michael, same thing. You guys are up close. What do you say about being so close to everything that's happening in hair and beauty? I'll ask you, Keisha, what do you say?
Well, for me, it's a love, and I feel like I was born to do it. So I'm excited to be venturing and moving forward in the industry, definitely. So thank you, Carrie, for giving me the opportunity through radio to do it. But I'm one of those
awesome
stylists that I can just get up and just go to work. I love doing hair. I mean, I genuinely enjoy doing it. And I think there's a difference, you know. Yes, I want to make money, but I love what I do. So I'm enjoying this part of the journey. So thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Carrie.
Me too. Oh, you're very much welcome. And Michael, when you're the same thing with you, you're up close. You get a chance to see everything firsthand, and to be able to share that back with the folks who follow you, who pay attention to what you're doing. What would you like them to know this morning?
Carrie and Keisha, this is just something new for me. You know, I don't come from a background in this type of world, but this is a fascinating world to me. Because I'm actually behind the scenes getting an opportunity that most people don't get. Most people don't get this opportunity to be behind the scenes and to look at the aspects of what we get to do and the people we get to talk to. I mean, who else gets to be close up and personal with someone that was a nominee, was an Oscar nominee? I mean, that doesn't happen every day. I don't meet guys every day from the military that are Oscar nominees. It just doesn't happen that way. But I enjoy this, and it makes me want to study this even more. And who knows? Maybe I'll get some type of certifications in this industry so I can be more in tuned with the industry, what goes on in the industry, and then I can educate people. I always love educating people.
Already there, Michael. I think let me just make sure you that we get the right things out there, everybody. You're already where you need to be at this point. You started a distribution business. So you just need to continue what you're doing and work hard to study so that you can be as effective. But you're where you need to be, and you've been on our show for over 2 years. So you've done enough preparation. It's time for you to step up to the plate, buddy.
So in other words, it's time for me to spread my wings and fly, right?
Okay, so yeah, we can't say, well, I don't know anymore. That doesn't work anymore. You've been around long enough. So let's kind of remember, you know, that you're much better prepared than you think you are. And this is just very close, even with what you're doing. You have folks who are veterans who are affected by hair care, just like everybody else is. So let's not make this, you know, this perceived, you know, wedge or distance between, you know, because it seems to me that that kind of, you know, kind of plays into this, you know, thing that hair and beauty might be, you know, something that's, you know, only for women to be concerned about as opposed to everybody. And I want to make sure that everybody is aware that this affects everybody, what we do, on every level. And so I think that you're off to a great start, and I think this is just the beginning.
Well, may I also say, Michael, the fact that you help veterans find their benefits, one of the hardest things for a stylist is to get the client approved to get their prosthetic, to get their Gigi Ford, the stylist yesterday spoke about it, that one of the things is battling these insurance companies and helping people, you know, get their resources.
So, you know, maybe it's
something you can help train salon owners and the people who are in this business how to maneuver through, you know,
that's
through
true.
The insurance.
Actually, that's a great idea, too. I think never thought about it like that, where put all that, because Michael has a very sophisticated knowledge of how to help the veterans to navigate the claims process. And by also being able to put on, am I right? And to put on a special tour, even if it's done through our radio format, of reaching the salons or the barbershops for that much, who pay attention to that. And I think that that's a good focus. So I just want us to kind of turn the needle that direction and not so much on what, you know, what we don't have or where.
Terry and Keisha.
Yeah.
When I was listening to Gigi yesterday, she mentioned something about the VA, Veterans Administration. Listening to her, somewhere in the healthcare part of the administration, there seems to be a possibility of getting the healthcare administration of the VA to pay for some of the prosthetics, as she called it. So that I understood that as soon as she said it, I completely understood what she was saying because, you know, the prosthetics, that is a part of the veteran experience in a VA hospital. So that is something that I definitely will explore to have that type of information out there for veterans. I will definitely explore
that. And I just want to say on the prosthesis that they're talking about, remember, Michael, they're talking about those hair prosthesis where it's customized to kind of for folks who have experienced severe hair loss. And so we want to be aware of that. It is, and thank you for that, both of you. Great conversation this morning. And this is probably our first time really delving into this kind of a conversation, I think, on the show.
Right.
I really have to say. And so that's why it's so important sometimes to, you know, kind of veer away from the script, I think, and kind of just kind of go with the convo, as they say, because there's always something that we're going to uncover. And the benefit for me is that, yes, and I've worked, I actually did work And that's probably one of the few actual areas of that industry that I literally worked in. So I'm very familiar with the prosthesis and that is part of it, all of that. So good stuff. I love this conversation this morning. And again, we're just delving into all of this. Keisha McAllister, who is our special guest today, all the way from out in California. Keisha, before we go on further, how's the weather out there? Now, you're in Northern California, not all that far from Lake Oakland. What's the weather like out there? Because everybody's talking about the weather these days. What's happening where you are?
Well, here we are having it's hot and it's dry. And that's all I can say. It's just hot and dry. And some days it's windy and hot and dry, which are really bad conditions for fire. So, you know, we're just on alert out here. We're on alert out here.
Yeah, just be careful.
And it's so, and I mean, you know, I God bless and, you know, for those families who are the devastation in Maui. So I just want to speak to that. California, we've been going through that for the last few years, like decade it seems.
Right, exactly.
Just having to watch for fires. So, you know, it's just hot and dry.
Thank you very much. And Michael, down in Spotsylvania, Virginia, what about you?
Wow. Well, pretty much the weather down here is nice, but we don't go through, as you would know, like California-type weather. And, you know, we've had rain here. But, yeah, my heart goes out to those people also, too, because it always seems like the West Coast, that area, it always seems like it's the same theme with the weather. Whereas we'll have rain here, and it'll cool off, and we don't really have like a drought spell or anything here on this side of the United States down here in Virginia. It's not really like that, but we still have to be forever vigilant down in this area because when the heat gets up to a certain temperature, we definitely have to check on older citizens, and we may have, like along the highway, we may have a brush fire because someone maybe was smoking and they threw the cigarette out. We'll get things like that, but it's not on the magnitude of the West Coast. So we have to be forever vigilant
on
this side of town.
Right, and up here in New York, I just want to say that, you know, I think vigilant is a good word. We've got to be ready. We were talking about it. In case you guys missed earlier in the show, you can play back the show a little later. We'll be sharing it on throughout our social media. But you would have heard us because this was something that we kind of talked a little bit about. We feel sorry for the folks out in Maui dealing with this. It just seems like, oh, boy, that folks, it reminds me a little bit of Katrina where nobody was really prepared. And this is something that you should kind of know is a potential reality and how they should have prepared. And it just doesn't. So I know that the investigations, boy, oh, boy, there'll be all kind of hearings and meetings and all kinds of stuff going on.
Oh,
I'm sure the
Congress
folks will be addressing this. You know, we've often thought of Maui and Honolulu as these great places, and you are closer, way closer than we are. You know, it's about a 5-hour trip from out in California to like Honolulu.
I did a wedding
here,
out there last year.
It's about a 10-hour trip out here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did a wedding out there.
Nice.
Now, were you in Maui?
I was in
Honolulu. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've not been, all of my friends have gone, and but right now probably I'll wait until they get it all under control. I understand the president is going out there and checking into all of this, you know, to see, I guess, what can be done on a federal level to help alleviate this. So our hearts are going out to these people, and we really, really want them to just kind of, you know, just our prayers and our thoughts are with them. Listen, we are going to take a little bit of a break this morning. And when we come back, we're going to have our initial conversation with Camille. Now, Camille Friend is, she is the head hairstylist on such movies like Wakanda Forever and Black Panther movies, the movie that she did with Little Mermaid. She'll talk about all this. And so we're going to let that kind of rip this morning. And then a little later, I'm going to see. I think we have everything set for that. And we'll talk a little bit more after that. So, Keisha, you're welcome to hang around. We'll chat a little bit more. I think just to hear what your thoughts are as you kind of hear this roll out. So let's take a little break now and stay with us. We've got a lot more to get into this morning, so stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Oh, we know, Carrie. We're dealing with producer extraordinaire. So when we dealing with you, Carrie Hines, it ain't no such thing as it's gonna be aight. No, it's never gonna be aight. It's always gonna be excellence, Carrie.
That's
what you do, man. You bring out the excellence in all of us. You make us step up to the plate. And you bring out us being professional at doing this. That's what you do, man. I mean, you know, that's what you do. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
I agree. And I think it's trusting, Carrie, too. Like, you can't open up or can't be 100% honest if you don't trust the host or trust the person who you're dealing with. And I think that's the camaraderie that's there. Everybody trusts Carrie, and then we trust each other.
And I should say your last project, Bill, Wakanda Forever, just incredible. We've got to talk about that and being nominated for an Academy Award. So much to get into this morning. It is my honor to welcome Camille Friend to the show. Good morning, Camille. I had to kind of figure what are we going to focus on this morning to introduce you. You've got so much to pull from here. Really?
Oh,
good morning.
No, good morning. Good morning to everybody. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so blessed to be here and to be able to share with my people, my hair people.
Yes. Let me tell you, just reading your story, I was, you know, just a few minutes ago, we have been with this show for about 28 years for this year, doing the Hair Radio Show. And we've had on different folks, but I've got to say, you have one of those types of careers that all of the hairstylists, you guys out there listening right now, this is where they have been striving to get to, and just to meet somebody like you. You are a true inspiration, a trailblazer. And so, and the video I caught of you was humility to boot. So this is something that is incredible. And I can see why all these wonderful good things are happening for you. So, Camille, let's just jump on in. let's talk about Wakanda Forever. Let's talk about Black Panther a little bit. You have been nominated for an Academy Award. Now, let me say that again. Let me say that again. An Academy Award. Okay, that is ginormous for your incredible work on Wakanda Forever. So we've got to start there. Tell us about that. How does that feel?
You know, it feels surreal. It almost feels dreamlike. And I just want to say, like, what people don't understand is the journey. So I just want to talk a little bit about the journey that got me here. So I this is my third time that I was really close to getting nominated for an Oscar. So, you know, it was on Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We got to the bake-off, and I'll explain what the bake-off is. On Black Panther 1, we got to the bake-off, and we didn't make it. So, like, for me, this is the third time is the charm. But I look at it this way. I feel like God had to work on me. He has to prepare me for this moment. So that's why we are here now.
I love that. You know, I totally understand what you mean, because it really happens not on our time, as they say. And that's quite true, literally.
Exactly. No, exactly. It happens in God's time. And I can tell you, it's something that I think is a culmination of a long, 25-year career to get here and be in this place. And, you know, I just feel happy that it has happened. And, it has happened for a movie like Wakanda Forever, because if you really think about it, this is a movie that could have been over, in the sense of, we lost our star. Chadwick Boseman passed. So this could have been a movie that Marvel scrapped. We're moving on. We're not going to do it. We're not going to touch it. So for us to be here in this movie, in this climate, I feel so blessed. I feel so humbled. I feel so grateful to have had the opportunity, and it happened on this movie.
Absolutely. Yes. And I have to say, now, the movie Wakanda Forever has gone on. You guys have been nominated for several Academy Awards. So you've got an amazing team. And I just want to take a moment in front of the camera and behind the camera. And it takes, literally, I have to say this, it takes a village, okay? It literally does when you're working on a project like this, right? So I want to hear everything. Tell us about some of the incredible folks, because, like I said, this takes a lot. And everybody is an artist to me on every single movie project, TV project. Everybody is an artist. Wherever you are, that you are connected with these incredible opportunities. So tell us, what was it like doing something like this?
Well, I'll tell you how I started working with these incredible folks.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you how it all started is, actually it started from what I call Black Panther 1. And what we did there was so inspirational, and I feel like it was so empowering, especially for the black community, the black culture. Yes. And it also was something where I think we really started honing into that idea, which we always have known, but really in a global way, that black hair is beautiful. And looking at black people are beautiful and seeing us in that way. So I think it started that great movement in that sense. So starting from there and moving into the next one, it was like, how can we connect these two movies that are very, very different? So for me, in the design context, it was something that I started with Ryan Coogler, which is the director of both Black Panther. Yeah, and starting talking to him and really dissecting what this next movie was going to look like. So this movie is going to be, let's call it about the women. It's about, if you look, there's not a lot of men in the movie. So it's really about the women. It's about the connection. It's about the mother. It's about the daughter. It's about the relationship. So all of those things came internal. Also, so that's something that we started. So what I looked at is starting off with the character of Ramonda and Shuri, the mother and daughter story, and the mother and daughter element of it is that what would they look like if according to, you know, West African tradition, if they had shaved their heads in mourning, so if we took from that time to a year later, what would their hair look like? So that's how I started, like, designing it and creating it from that concept. And then, you know, working out with other characters in the sense of is building characters that still were familiar to the audience, because we didn't, if you change people so much, sometimes you don't even know who they are on camera. So I always feel like you always want to tie a thread, you know, if you have from the first to the second to the third movie. So, you know, like, for instance, you know, keeping Ramonda's hair, Angela Bassett, keeping her hair in the platinum color. She's not in the locks, but she still has that platinum, silvery, beautiful, afro, curly hair, keeping her in that.
Absolutely.
And then taking the character like Shuri, Letitia Wright, taking her into something where you see her in this movie, she has truly evolved as a character. She's more of a leader. She is in mourning. She's discovering who she is as a young woman. So seeing her through that process and seeing her hair evolve, then taking somebody like, you know, Nakia, which is Lupita Nyong'o, taking her and, like, seeing how she's going to evolve, but, like, changing her hair and allowing her to evolve and giving her longer locks, but still keeping her in the beautiful Nakia red that, like, people love so much. All the ladies love that color. So, you know, and even, like, you know, the flashbacks that we have of Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger, still, you know, even for a one-day shoot, making sure that he has those locks in, because the ladies love the locks and the men love the locks, okay? So, like, keeping all of those characters familiar in a new story and keeping it grounded in that way, and that's how, you know, like, I always like to hone in on what the hair story is going to be internally inside the movie. So that's how a lot of that came about. Yeah.
Well, yes, and you say about the hair story and crafting that. Now, and I was reading somewhere, so you have a team that work with when you design all of this. And I read 300 wigs. Wow. That's a lot.
Yes.
You
no,
were
it's
busy.
A lot. I mean, we were busy, but I always say this, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. So I'm always, because people always ask me things like, well, how do you pick people? Do you pick the best hairstylist? Do you pick the best? And I say this is, and this is really true, Carrie, and this is something people don't, like, know about me. I don't care sometimes if you're the best hairdresser or the best makeup artist. The reason I don't care, because if you have an attitude that is not well, or if you're not kind, if you don't know how to be pleasant, that doesn't work inside of what I call the society of the trailer, and that's where we work. So it's people who know you can be, for me, you can be a mediocre hairstylist. You can be a mediocre barber. But if you come to work with the right attitude, with the right mindset, you know, the mindset for me is, how may I serve? Because we all have, that's what we have to do. We are serving people, and we are serving the movie in the best way that we know how. So going into it like that, that's how I look at, and that's how I pick people. And I was really fortunate to have a great group of people, and I'll just give everybody kind of a shout out. So I have, like, for my key, which is a position under myself, I had two keys, and that is Evelyn Feliciano and Marva Stokes. They were my key. And then I had my master barber, which is Victor Paz, and Victor is, you know, he is my ride or die, and he's been with me through so many movies, and he did the first Black Panther, and he is the master barber, and he is a phenomenal barber. And then we had Amber Mayer, we had Jason Simmons, who's also a barber, and we had Derek Washington, who's a barber. And then we had Nancy Martinez, and they were on second unit, and, you know, we'll talk about all that, the water unit. Like, those are all the things people don't know, like, all the moving parts that have to happen in order to make a film of this size.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you something. It is just incredible to pull something like this together. And I love it. And also, and I can hear it in your voice, and we can see it on screen, obviously, but we can also hear the passion in your voice, the professionalism in your voice, how you have kind of, you know, connected everything. You literally connected all the dots.
So I want to talk and go back a little bit. Now, I read somewhere that you started out in Tempe, Arizona. How did you get from Arizona to Hollywood, literally?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm a third-generation hairstylist, so I come from a family of hairstylists. So, you know, like, being in the salon is being, like, at home for me. Like, I love being in the salon, you know, as a little girl. My uncle Robert Wesson, you know, he's deceased now, God rest his soul. He was somebody who was very pivotal for me in my career and growing up because, you know, if you wanted to get your hair done on Saturday, you had to be in there and be the shampoo girl. You had to take out rollers. You had to sweep hair. Like, you know, you had to do your job. You had to know how to base people and get them based, get it ready for the relaxers. So all of those things, like, I grew up knowing and learning and being in the salon. So, you know, that's just something that's in my DNA, and it's something that, you know, my family is so proud of, and we call it, some of us call it the family business because so many of us, I do have quite a few cousins and people in my family who are basically hairstylists, you know, but they don't work in the business, but they're hairstylists. And then I say from the Tempe to the L.A. part, that's something that just happened. You know, I'm just going to be honest. I fell in love with the guy, and I decided I was moving to L.A. Of course, that
it always comes down to that. Always comes down to love.
You know, it always comes down to that. But that part didn't work out. But everything else, I think I'm doing pretty good.
I was about to say, I think it kind of did work out.
It did work out
right.
In a beautiful way.
Exactly. Because everything happens for a reason. You know that, Camille.
Amen.
Everything happens for
Amen.
A reason.
Yes.
And
so
and you're just doing big things. Yeah. Now, listen, I want to just tell everybody, in case you guys are just joining us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Let me just go ahead and get that on out. I'm out here in Brooklyn, New York, so we are literally about 3,000 miles away from you guys out there. But my guest today is Camille Friend, and you guys, there's very little that needs to be said. You've done amazing things, making your mark in movies and TV. And my guest today, the one and only Camille Friend, let me just go ahead and say that. Now, Camille, I read this. You worked on some huge projects. You mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, earlier, Volume 2.
Yeah.
Also, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Parts 1 and 2, Hateful 8, Dreamgirls, Captain America, Civil War, what's this, Django, just so many projects. So, you know, it looks like you were kind of destined for all this incredible, you know, these accolades and all of this. So how does it make you feel? Are there bigger things that you want to accomplish? Because to me, that's pretty huge out there, you know, being nominated for an Academy Award. Sure. So let's talk about that.
It's kind of funny because I almost feel like, I know this sounds really strange, but it almost feels like, I want to call it, it's like, I feel like I'm having a rebirth. In the sense of, like, you know, for so many years, my thoughts, my passion, and, you know, always my dream is to get nominated for an Oscar. So now we're here. So it allows me to have, like, all my other dreams now. I can move on. You know, dreams do happen, and it happened to me. So, you know, there's so many other things that I'm interested in doing. And, like, one of my main things I love doing now is teaching. I teach, and it's something I have a company called Hair Scholars. And one thing that I'm passionate about is teaching people what it takes to be in this business. But this is how I like to look at it. I like to look at it on two sides. There is a business side because there is a business to the business. There are protocols. There are procedures. There are things how it's done in the business. And as an outsider, a lot of things you don't know. And then you also have on the other side, which is the practical. It is, you know, the hairstyling, you know, the makeup artistry. All of that is on the other side. So I teach both sides of the coin because I think to be successful, you need to know both. And I always tell people, first thing is pay your taxes. Like, you know, like some hairdressers,
yeah, they don't want to be in trouble.
Don't pay their taxes. Like, you know, so I teach basic things like, you know, that and how to get into the business, how to fill out your paperwork, how to do your resume and portfolio, and also how to have equity in this business, because how do you get to be a department head like me? What are the things you need to know? So those are the sort of things that I teach, and also like how to put on a wig really well. So, you know, that's probably, I would call that my next chapter, in the sense of is really getting out there and teaching even more than I already have. And I just want to elevate people as they go along in their career and give them a tool that is helpful to them as they go along, as you have problems, as you encounter things, as you grow, and how to elevate your career. Like, so those are things that I think about, and I'd like to help people and mentor them towards that.
Well, you're doing just that. You really are. And today it's evidenced right here, where you are definitely, you've made a mark. You don't even have to say it. you've blazed an incredible career. You've set up a path for folks to follow. But the fact that you are teaching is even greater. And I read that you were a platform artist, and I could just see you up there now. I can hear your personality. I just know that you are just incredible teaching folks. Yes. I love
our
that at the shows.
Are so fun. Like, in fact, I'm actually looking for a place. I want to do a 3-day wig class, and I'm still looking for a place to carry it on for 3 days because people want to give you 2 days. So I'm still looking for a place, but that's something like I've always
Well, listen, we're going to bring you out to the East Coast. We're going
to
bring you to the East Coast over here.
I would love to. No, I would love to, you know, like live classes to me are the best. I love being with my people to touch, feel, and just to give people that hands-on effect. Yeah.
Absolutely. So important. Now, I do want to ask you about this because I've interviewed a few folks in the industry, and over the years, they've always talked about not having great folks behind the scenes, but that was kind of like the past. Has that been addressed in terms of having hairstylists who are people of color to address the hair needs on set? So because there were a lot of, in front of the camera who were wearing wigs when they didn't want to necessarily. So but we didn't have a lot of folks according to them at that time. So I think it's changed a bit. What do you say to that?
No, I definitely agree. And listen, I'm going to say we're not where we should be, but we are making strides. I have to tell you, both the unions on the East Coast, which is 798, and the West Coast Union, which is 706, they are both making strides to change. And, you know, people, like, I'm just telling you, people are, like, there's a lot of people that are getting in the union and people who, you know, and people who are, who know how to do, you know, I call it, I'm going to say this, all hair textures, because I think what we have to do, you know, as black stylists or, if you know, or Latin stylists, we have to be capable, too, of doing all textures of hair. So I'm talking from, you know, like, let's just call it, like, a straight 1A to a 4C. Just have the gamut of hair. No matter who sits in your chair, it is our responsibility that we know how to do that hair. So, you know, that's what I think has changed. And the powers that be, I have lots of meetings and lots of phone calls. I had a big meeting with, I won't say yesterday, with a studio. And they know the issues. And guess what? They want to help change it. So I think we're in a place that the awareness has come. People are making strides to change it. So what we have to do is the people that do get in, we have to represent ourselves in a way that is going to elevate us and who's going to keep us there. Because it's not only about doing hair, as I just want to always, or it's not always about doing makeup. It's all about your personal attitude. It's about, it's like getting along. And this is the thing, you're going to work with people that you don't like. I work with a lot of people I don't like, but absolutely I have to have a professional relationship with them, and I have to learn how to get along, and you have to learn how to, I always say this, you have to learn how to be comfortable in uncomfortable spaces.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's
just one of my models.
That's true in the real world anyway. That's true in the real world.
No, it really is. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
It might be somebody like, listen, You can work next to somebody who you wouldn't have lunch with them, or you don't want to go to their house, but you got to work with them for 6 months, and you got to get along. You got to be professional and know that this is a job. You have to get along. And, you know, I have to say, I don't like, you know, people. I don't like people who work for me. No tantrums, no stomping around the trailer, none of that.
Yeah.
We talk.
Well,
and if you have an issue, we talk it out. Because, you know, every day is not perfect. Everybody's not going to get along at all times. And, you know, we just try our best. But, you know, you have to come and understand, you know, what you're getting yourself into. It's not all glitz and glamour. It's early calls. Late nights. It's mud. It's dirt. You're going to be cold. You're going to be hot. You're going to be sweaty. You might be in a place that has ticks and chiggers and snakes. I'm being serious. Like, I've been through all of it. So, but you still, in those conditions, because the conditions can be harsh, you still have to keep your professionalism and do your job.
Camille, I can hear that you are an incredible manager, an incredible leader at what you do. So who poured into you? I know you came from a long line of hairstylists, but who poured this into you? Well, where did this come from? You have a certain drive, a knack, or something. Where did that come from?
Well, I'm going to tell you what my mother says. This personality, the type of personality, I was born with it. Because she was like, even at times when I was a Girl Scout, when I was a child, I wanted to be number one and sell the most cookies. So,
love it. I could hear it.
I had really great parents. I had strong parents. I'm the firstborn child. But then, you know, I look at it this way. I come from a large, like, family of women. So, like, I find so much strength with my aunts. Like, I still, like, you know, I'm a person, I still talk to, like, my aunts at least once a week or every other day or a couple times a week. Like, I talk to my aunts and I, like, you know, they know me. They know my heart. I speak to my aunts. And, like, I had so many beautiful mentors in this business, like Robert Stevenson. Robert Stevenson, he's retired now, but he was Sam Jackson's original hairstylist. I worked for him.
Yeah.
He taught me so much. Irma Kent is another person. Irma took me from television and took me to, and I did 8 Mile, and I ended up doing 4 or 5 movies with Irma Kent. These are people who poured into me. There's a woman named Pixie Schwartz when I was doing television. She helped me out so much. Joanne Stafford Chaney, she helped me along the way. Like, these are all people who poured into me, and they taught me so much. And then even, I would say this, people can even teach you how you don't want to be. So people teach you so many things if you're just there, and you can be the student and you can be the observer.
I can't even respond to it. Amazing. That's all I can say. Amazing.
Yeah.
And see, that's why you're also a teacher now. You're just passing that along. And influencing so many.
Totally.
Well, listen, I just want to say thank you, Camille. Camille Friend, my guest today. Camille, you are, please, this is your new home here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Whenever you are releasing projects, I tell you, the hairstylists, the barbers, all of the folks that we connect with, you are a shining beacon for us to follow. And so we so appreciate it. And you taking the time, being Academy Award nominated. Okay. That's a first for our show. So I think we've had people, you know, before and after, but you're in the season, and this is, and more ways than one. So we're so proud of you. Please.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Us.
And to all your listeners, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to you. And, you know, we'll talk again. I have another big movie coming out. I got Little Mermaid with the first Black Mermaid coming out. Come on now.
You're going to come back for that and tell us all about it?
I would love to. I designed the look for her. So I would love to talk about it, talk about the process and everything that we did, and what an exciting moment, and to be a part of that movement also for so many young women and people to be able to see a mermaid and look at them and represent in a beautiful way that black is beautiful.
Absolutely. You know what?
Yes.
I take my hat off to you. I tip my hat
outstanding. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
All the doors are open.
I'm going to keep going. No, and
I love it. And the windows for that much. Yes. And also,
Camille,
I just want to say thank you to your entire team for helping to bring this wonderful interview to pass today. So thanks so much. You have an incredible day out there, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Be starting. Rise and Shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Thursday morning. It's August 17th of 2023. It is TBT. That's Throwback Thursday, and we've been throwing it back today. Really great interview pieces. That was the incomparable Camille Friend. You guys know her. She is huge out there in the way of entertainment. Academy nominated for her work in the Black Panther movie. Just so excited and happy to have had the chance to have her on this broadcast, and so much more with her to come in the next issue of Afrolock Magazine. So first, let me just get my colleague, Michael Hopkins, co-star, the host of VTR, the Vet Talk Radio Show, Tuesdays 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Michael, you listened to the same interview I did. What are your thoughts about Camille?
Carrie, my thoughts about Camille, she is an excellent educator, and she is a history teacher. You know, that I was just so wrapped around just I could listen to her for another 3 or 4 hours just telling her story and how to get started in the industry and what to do and being professional. And I mean, it just went on and on, and it was beautiful. I got so wrapped up in it till, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is going to end? Oh, this can't end. I need part two, part three, part six. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because you can consider part two to be coming up in our September issue on September 1st. We're releasing a brand new interview with Camille, and she's going to speak directly to the hairstylist. Now, speaking about the hairstylist and to the hairstylist, we have our very special contributor today who's been joining us this week on the broadcast live all the way from out there where Camille is, all the way out there in California. We're talking about the one and only Keisha McAllister, who is a big-time proprietor, hair personality. She's always been a big part of what we're doing here. Keisha, again, good morning.
Good
morning, you've been
Carrie.
A big part of this broadcast today.
Good morning,
today.
Michael.
Yes, you're on with
Yes.
So now, Keisha, we want to hear what your thoughts are. You heard the wonderful, wonderful Camille, who is just doing gangbusters out here, to be nominated for an Academy Award for hairstyling as the lead hairstylist of the trailer people, I think she said they consider themselves to be. So what are your thoughts? What went through your mind?
Well, I too, like Michael, I was enamored by this interview. I understood every word. Yeah, no. I understood every word she said, and I also understood her passion and vigor for what she does. Like, she eats, sleeps, and drinks it. And I had a grandmother who was a hairdresser who taught me the beginning, you know, taught me how to do hair. Yeah, so I understood that, and I'm
– You really could relate.
I could really relate.
You guys had a lot
and
of
I'm
time.
Grateful. Yeah, I'm so grateful, because it – one thing that I will say, that I was I went to the last showing of Black Panther one night, the Wakanda, and the one thing that I was really caught up by was the hair. I was trying to watch the movie, but I was really watching the hair, and I just kept saying, "Whoever did the hair, killing it!" Like, I mean, the whole movie. Like, I can't tell you what happened.
Was that really what went through your mind at that time?
No, seriously,
this is a full circle moment.
Seriously,
this is a full circle
I was
moment.
Sitting in there. I honestly, Carrie, I can't tell you what happened in the movie. I really can't, but I remember looking at all the hair, and I was like, oh, they got a black stylist this time. Oh, somebody knows what they're doing. And I mean,
wow.
You know, down
wow.
to the way the hairline looked in the back of somebody else's head. I mean, that's those are the things that I look at that
never,
nobody else would look at. But yeah.
You
honestly,
never thought in a million years that you would be on the same broadcast.
Never, never,
look
never.
Look how your life has brought you right here.
And I'm grateful. But honestly, that was what I was sitting in there thinking, like, I was eating my popcorn and drinking my slushie, and I was just looking like somebody
wow.
knows how to finish a hairline and make it look natural. I mean, seriously. I was sitting, that's what I watched. I can't tell you the storyline.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
well,
that's funny.
Think Camille is going to just love hearing this. Really, she pays attention to everything. She sees us writing on social media. She sees everything we're shouting her out this morning on the broadcast.
Shout out to Camille Friend.
Yeah,
yes.
That's why it's so critical.
Yes.
And you know, and we've helped so many hairstylists along the way. We give you the tools. We help you. We really do. These are incredible connections. And folks who, and we've been doing this since the beginning of time. We talked about in the early part of this show today, Ferguson, and remember the headaches that they had out there. We talked about things that happened 10 years ago with the way that punishment and crime is perceived to be part of the Black community. We've talked about so many things on this. When we have a three-hour show, and then each mid-show, we get our wonderful colleague, Nicole Marie, who's on to inspire us each day. And I love that you've been able to kind of segue on in and join us for some live hair talk throughout the broadcast. And I just, this means a lot to us here. But when we hear you, Michael, do you hear it in Keisha's voice today about the impression?
Yeah.
I think she enjoyed the interview. Yes, because
very
I've
much
never heard
so,
Keisha
Karen.
This lively about the concept
yes.
of what we're playing. So,
oh, yeah.
Really
I'm still thinking about that slushy. I'm still thinking about the slushy and the popcorn.
Yes, the popcorn and the slushy.
Oh, yeah.
Mix them together.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I was like,
it.
I was the last person, and I was like, I got to support this Black movie. And I was, you know, I still had to take my night medication, you know, the whole routine.
Right.
But
oh,
I got caught up by the hair and the makeup, and I was just like, oh. Somebody understands tone and color.
Yes.
Oh,
and
somebody understands hairline.
Absolutely. She's a straightforward lady. When you
oh,
ask
yeah.
her
very
a question,
so.
She's going to answer it.
Yes. Yes.
So get
that
ready for your answer. Yeah,
no,
she
that
is
was
a no-nonsense kind
clear.
Of person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very much on point. And I love that she loves her people. She loves hairstylists. She really does. That's her life. And she does a lot for that community. And, you know, and it makes me happy because that's what we do. We have that in common. And so we just hit it off real big. And so do we know a few folks? I think we do. Look at Melba Moore getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Look at Dionne Warwick, who's the queen of Twitter. These have all been folks on our show.
Very much so.
In addition to
and
a host
know,
of others.
Carrie, I'm sorry, I just have to plug in. One thing I have always paid attention to Dionne Warwick was her hair. I haven't always listened to We Are the World and all those things,
yeah.
but her hair has always, she's always had a good hairdresser. Since I was little, I've washed her hair.
You know, now that you say that,
I always loved that side, that swoop to the side.
That short. Mm-hmm.
And short and swoop to the side. I love that. I was thinking about Dionne this morning because I was reading about they had real old shows that go back to Dance Fever days with Danny Terrio and a show called Solid Gold you know Dance Fever.
I remember.
Very much so.
Well, let me tell you, when I got a chance to speak with Dionne and to chat with her and to ask her, because I grew up on Solid Gold, the TV show, and it was so important to me because I said, Dionne, I said, could we bring back Solid Gold, please? I would love for Solid Gold to come back. Now, my other favorite Dionne moment, which is something I didn't get a chance to ask her about, but I always regret it that I did not, and that was when she was on We Are the World with Michael Jackson and Tina Turner, Pointers. I think the Pointer Sisters. There were so many people on there, with so many artists. So many. But those were the ones that jumped out at me. And I still, Bruce Springsteen was there and so many other folks. I just love that. And that her lines that she sang in the movie, in that video, were my favorite of the song between Dionne and Tina and Cyndi Lauper. So, and of course Michael and Lionel, well, the whole group.
I loved
all of those folks. Yeah. So we've had the guests right here on this show. We've had incredible artists who dropped by. This means something to folks. This means something. So it's touching. It really is. And so I just love that you come in and for you to do this, Keisha, this means a whole lot to us because you got to get up super early in the morning and be kind of on point with what we're talking about. And we're out here literally 3,000 miles away, but it sounds like we're all in the same room. And Michael is down in Virginia. I'm in New York. And you're in California. We already connect several states and several regions. And so this is just, it's incredible. And I'm just loving
this.
And I'm glad you love this today. That was really, it was really nice. And let me tell you something, with that in mind, and I'm going to just let it on out of the bag today, Camille is our new star. That's all I'm going to say. She's going to be featured in the next issue. So if you're listening today, you're going to have a big clue on our new cover for the Afrolock magazine. That's all I'm going to say. But you'll see what's happening with it when we release this, and I'm just excited. So this is just big, big stuff. Each day is something new here. And so I just want to say thank you. We got to thank the fans, guys. We really do. And I got to say to you, Keisha McAllister, thank you for dropping in and stuff. And you just come here and bring it each day. You really do. And you're focused and care about what you're saying and doing. And you're a big part of what we're doing here. So we appreciate your efforts and all that you're doing. And just wish you all the speedy recovery and just hanging in there and doing all that you're doing. You
thank
have a
you
big
much.
Fan club here.
Oh,
yeah. So we can't wait. And we want you to come back. If you're up early, come to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Tomorrow's Friday. We're going to have a big fan day Friday. And what I'd love to do tomorrow, we're going to do some live. We've never done Ask a Hairstylist live. And so Keisha's not going to know what we're going to be talking about. and we're going to get your questions all ready for her tomorrow. You're going to hear her responses live on the broadcast. So, Keisha McAllister, we're going to have you to start getting ready because
all
you
right.
don't know what we're going to have our fans ask. I don't even know yet. So we'll be pulling them out.
Okay.
How about that?
That was a great man.
Yes.
And absolutely awesome. Now, tomorrow, in addition to Keisha McAllister, we'll also have a whole new piece, mid-show, with Nicole Marie. We also have some surprises on Fan Day Friday. Talking also about next week coming up on Vet Talk, Michael, get ready for season 3. Season 3, yeah, my God, it sounds so much.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Season 3, Vet Talk radio show. You'll be wrapping up season 2. We're going to talk all about that. And we've got some surprises in store. And I am just happy to have you guys with us. And I don't know where the hours go. My alarm goes off at 4. Next thing I know, it's 6. And the next thing I know, it's 9. And that's East Coast time. So it's just shocking that the time just speeds on through. It really is. I'm just, wow. Emma, is it just me or is it for you guys as well? Does it just speed on through like that?
It does seem that way.
It doesn't move
like it just flies by, like it's got wings.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I'll tell you something. I just enjoy it. I really do. Listen, I, just had to kind of get on one of our closeout songs, one that we have not played in a while, and I just love this fella's voice so much. I just imagine myself singing just like him. I'm sure that he probably doesn't quite feel the same way once you hear my voice. But this gentleman has a string of hits, and we just shout him out. This is our Throwback Thursday Music Day, and just wanted to get him on to kind of help us to close out today's broadcast. We're going to do that. And any closing thoughts, any shout-outs? Keisha, why don't we start with you? Anybody you want to shout out to today?
Oh, I can't even think of people. You caught me off guard, Carrie. Shout out to the fans. Shout out globally. Take care of your hair. Be sure to wrap it up at night and drink your water.
Now, that is a good shout out. Michael Hopkins, what about you? Host of Vet Talk Radio. Anybody you want to shout out to today?
Oh, yeah. I just want to shout out to all my veteran brothers and sisters, their advocates. And anyone that's out there that wants to know more about veterans and how to help veterans, that's my shout out. Back to you, Carrie.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, guys. Outstanding show, as always. I mean, we just bring it. All right. You'll never guess who this singer is. I hope you like it. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks so much. Make it an awesome Thursday. We just did.
Be there just wrapped around you. I can't hold back what I feel inside. It's just a fact that you should be mine. Anything you want, you got to fortify my love. You fortify me. You should be mine. Anything you want. as we're together, just confirm the good thing we've got.